The Astros and their assistant general manager could face punishment from the MLB after an outburst in the clubhouse after the American League Championship game. Professor Mike McCann joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, what happened in the Astros clubhouse after the American League Championship game between assistant general manager Brandon Taubman and a group of female reporters?
Sure. So after the game, Taubman turned to three female reporters, one of whom was wearing a purple domestic violence awareness bracelet, and he yelled about a half dozen times, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so effing glad we got Osuna." Osuna refers to Roberto Osuna, the closer on the team, who the team had acquired a year earlier while he was on suspension, a 75-game suspension for domestic violence. He had been charged in Toronto for brutally assaulting the mother of his 3-year-old son. That case was ultimately resolved in what's essentially a plea deal, and obviously very controversial. And the reporters, one of whom I work with at Sports Illustrated, Stephanie Apstein, who wrote a story about this, that it was inappropriate and offensive for him to be sort of saying that they were celebrating getting a player who had been implicated in a domestic violence act, and it was bizarre too.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't even a pitcher who played well in the game, so the timing of it was suspicious on its own.
Right, and the Astros tried denying that the event happened, right?
Yeah, they've had a hard time with the story. So the team didn't speak with Stephanie prior to her story. They didn't make Taubman available to talk. I mean, they could have had him go on and say, "Here's what I meant. Let me explain the context of it." So he was given an opportunity to help explain what occurred, and the team declined that. So they took some risk. And then after the story is published, the team issues a statement where it implies that Stephanie made up the story, that there is no controversy. And that was untrue because everyone in the room...
There were multiple witnesses.
Yeah, there were multiple witnesses. And they all went on Twitter saying, "This is true, this is true, this is true." So it wasn't like a one-on-one thing where it's one person's word against another. This was like 10-on-1. And the next day, Taubman issued a statement, which was partly apologetic. It acknowledged he made a mistake. And he said, "You know, if I offended anyone," that's not a great, right? Because
it
suggests that it wasn't necessarily offensive, and that it brings us to a place where we have to ask why somebody would be offended. That is just inappropriate in and of itself. So that has only exacerbated the controversy. And the owner of the team also issued a statement saying that they care about domestic violence. I mean, it was just sort of boilerplate stuff.
Right.
It doesn't really address what specifically occurred.
I was really surprised reading your article on this that the MLB has very specific codes with regards to harassment that go outright at what was said. So can you speak to those?
Yeah, baseball has adopted a number of policies that are relevant here. One is a club media relations policy, which prevents bullying, harassment. In addition, baseball has adopted a workplace conduct policy that has similar language. So very on-point written material related to this is available for the commissioner, Rob Manfred. In addition, Rob Manfred, like other commissioners in baseball, has sweeping authority under the league constitution. There's something called the best interest of the game power that allows the commissioner to take any action literally in the best interest of the game. And normally that means, has somebody in baseball done something that's harmed the business of the sport?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this harms the business because
right.
It offends people. It offends fans. It offends certainly sponsors. And also it suggests a sort of a hostile work environment
right.
for women who are journalists.
Yeah, I'm interested by that specifically. You mentioned that. What's the line with a hostile work environment when it comes to reporters, which are technically – they don't work for the MLB. They work for outside organizations.
That's right. But they do have a certification to go inside the clubhouse.
Oh, okay.
So they have a relationship with baseball in terms of being certified. But they could argue that the club media relations policy is violated when they're put in a position where there is harassment or inappropriate activity. And I assume baseball will look into that here.
Now, if Taubman had and the Astros had apologized afterwards, say, We were excited. Yep. Just won the American League Series. This was just a one-off accident that won't happen again. Would this have basically gone away, do you think?
I think it would still be a story, but a much lower story, right? Because if he had said, you know what, like you just said, AJ, in the heat of the moment, we were excited, we're going to the World Series, I idiotically said something that I want to take back. I know I said it, I own it, but everyone's imperfect. We all make mistakes. I made a mistake there. I know I offended people. I'm really sorry. This is a one-time thing. I don't have a history of doing it. There's no allegations of me doing it otherwise. This was just a stupid thing. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he had something to drink. I mean, there are all sorts of things, right? They just celebrated their champagne. It doesn't excuse it, but at least people will say, okay, he messed up and he owns it. But what they've done instead is to say, is first to blame the journalist.
Right.
Which
who's,
was just...
Who's outright gone out publicly to support that I was telling the
truth.
Like,
how stupid is that? Yeah. I mean, first of all, it was untrue, right? And then there were witnesses who disputed the club's response. So it was foolish more than anything. I mean, it was offensive, but it was also just dumb. Mm-hmm. And I know baseball will look at this and say, you couldn't have handled this worse, and you've damaged the sport as a result.
Is Sports Illustrated and other media outlets just letting the MLB handle it internally?
From what everything I can tell, yeah. I think, though, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of any of them, but I would say that the most likely response by them is to allow baseball to do its investigation and at some point issue some kind of report or statement.
To contrast this situation a little bit, it comes to mind what just happened with the NBA, which we talked about a couple weeks ago with regards to Hong Kong with political speech. Does the NBA work differently compared to the MLB when it comes to these sort of things? Or is this different because it's kind of I wouldn't call it sexual harassment, but it's a specific kind of harassment.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's different for the context of the statement. Leagues are generally not punishing political statements, right? If Daryl Morey tweeting in favor of Hong Kong protesters, though that wasn't necessarily good for the NBA's business with China, and though some NBA players like LeBron James have criticized Morey, most Americans support it, most politicians support it, and probably most NBA fans support it. But that was really a political comment at the end of the day. It's offensive to those in China, I suppose, but generally, or the businesses in China that are affected by that. But I think, speech varies, right? And in this context, the speech was the kind of speech that no one's defending, right? This wasn't saying, I support...
People aren't lining up.
No, I mean, this wasn't, I support this political candidate versus another. If somebody supports President Trump, if somebody supports Vice President Biden or whatever, that's fine. I mean, you know what? That's their political view. I think it changes when the content becomes maybe threatening, when it harassment. Obviously, there's not a fine line between. The line can be gray, and it's hard for leagues to police speech because they don't want to create a precedent where they're, cracking down on political statements. I think a statement where it was to many offensive, and sort of condones, you could say, domestic violence, at a minimum, I think is not one that's going to have people saying, this is a two sides issue.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. And now be sure to check out the video version of the show on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. See you next Thursday.